free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, February 23rd, 2009, by Randy Bunn and Mark Ackerman from Idaho, who will be telling us about their HHO home heating unit. Some of the TV coverage of this technology has described it as a heater that runs on water. That is a bit of a simplification because electricity is being used to electrolyze the water into a hydrogen-oxygen combination called hydroxy or Brown's gas or HHO. Hence the name of their company, HHO-HHU for home heating unit. Mark and Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, I first found out about this actually just a couple of days ago. We've had our associate, Robert Pritchett, and some others involved in the New Energy Congress have been percolating a page at PezWiki about this, and it's been in our hopper, but I hadn't had a chance to look at it because of all the fun things going on. But this is one of the most exciting developments that I can think of in a long time.
Well, thank you so much. It's been very rewarding. All the work we've done on this, all the responses that we've gotten, and quite frankly, the excitement that it's generated.
Well, one of the things is I see it, kind of the bottom line, is that you have a heater technology that can use a very little amount of electricity. They could come from, say, a wind turbine, or it could come from a solar panel, independent of the grid, using very little electricity to heat a home. And this is something that could be done with just around $600 retail. This is pulling from items from a hardware store. You guys do have some plans available for sale. You sell the plans for about $40 to tell people how they can build one of these things. You are planning on, you know, building commercial units, but you're starting out of the gate by basically doing a quasi open source project, allowing people to build these things for themselves.
Right. And, you know, the reason we did that is we wanted the average guy to have this technology. We didn't want it to be something that got bottled up or hid away, and we figured the best way to get it out there is to start by sharing it.
Well, I see that as being a very timely thing, given the volatility of the economy, and you know, we're on the brink of disaster as a country. We, you know, just a few months from now, we could see complete meltdown of society as we know it. And this kind of technology gives us a bit of breathing room in terms of having a cushion where we can kind of continue with some of the comforts that we've grown accustomed to. With a very little capital outlay, this is a distributed energy solution for people available now. They can go to your site, purchase the plans, build a unit, and pay for the unit in just 2 to 3 months from electricity and gas savings.
Yeah, the savings and the economic impact it can have on. We started thinking about families and the elderly. We just saw it as a huge benefit, and not only that, it's very clean. And, it's good for our environment instead of destroying it.
Well, yeah, that's another aspect. It's always something that we're on the lookout for is clean technologies. Let's talk, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, give us a bit of a rundown of kind of the insides of this thing. How does this thing work?
Well, what we've got in there is we've got basically two dry cells. So, you know, we refer to that as a dual hydrogen separation unit. And what those dry cells do is, through electrolysis, it separates the hydrogen and the oxygen. And then that hydrogen becomes a fuel that is then burned, you know, in this heater as a heat source. The other thing that's there that you have to keep track of, the idea of this unit is to make heat. So we also do capture the heat off the electrolysis process and off the fan motors. I mean, there's some other heat sources there.
On our site, in our coverage of your technology, we have come across a couple of people who have replicated the heater component, where they have taken the Brown's gas flame and have put it through the little tubes you have, like copper tubes, and run a fan through that, and they say it works very effectively. They've basically corroborated what you are describing as the heart of your system.
Right, and that's been one of the big stumbling blocks for people working on this technology, is that they could not figure out how to do the heat exchanger, because everything that they point that hydroxy flame at, it melts. And we could point it directly at the material and found something very conductive that would create a collection of the heat. And that is, that really is what made one of the big things that made the difference.
I've played a little bit with this Brown's gas. I've had a machine that, it wasn't my machine, an associate of mine had it, and we were spending some time doing some demonstrations. You can wave this flame across your hand without burning yourself. Then you can take that same flame, same setting, and you can put it on tungsten, and it'll start to melt in just 2 or 3 seconds. And tungsten, I think, has a melting temperature of like 6,000 degrees. I mean, there's something going on there that is not heat. There's some kind of ionic or some kind of elemental atomic reaction going on between the flame and the substrate. And so, as you're saying, as people have been trying to turn this into a practical heater, the problem they're having is whatever they put the flame on, it's just disintegrating, and you've figured out a way to do that. Maybe you can tell us. You did file for a patent last month, so it's okay for you to tell us your secret. You're doing it in your plans that people are paying for. How are you able to take that flame and capture that heat without melting what it is that you're using as a heat exchanger?
Well, kind of like I alluded to before, we quit aiming it directly at the material, and we actually shoot it down the center of a series of tubes. So that, you know, the heat is conducted away from that center tube, and it's mostly the fact that it's just a large, you know, it sinks the heat away from it. And, again, they were shooting down the tube, which actually Mark might want to talk about that a little bit. He's the one that kind of figured out, hey, let's quit pointing it at the metal.
You know, the metal was, we started out with, it was exactly as you said. The flame would destroy what we were doing. So our thought was, rather than melting something, how can we dissipate that heat out? And how can we put it into a controlled environment where we can blow air through it to cool it, and at the same time get it to a certain temperature to maintain? I've always thought that the secret to the unit was both heating it to a predictable temperature that we can regulate, and also keeping it cool at the same time. The nice little product that we got out of that was, in cooling the rest of the unit down, we could take that heat and we could force that out into the room as well.
So describe for us the pictures that we have on our site. I don't know if this is exactly close to what you have, but basically you have on the order of a dozen copper pipes that are cut to maybe 5 inches and are wrapped, strapped together. Imagine some kind of a metal strap, so the strap's not melting. And then you are aiming the flame into the center of those tubes. And then you're saying that the heat is dissipating out to the rest of the tubes, and then you're blowing a flame, you're blowing a fan through those tubes, and that is then going out into the room to heat the room?
Exactly. The secret to the whole thing is how much air you can hold and how much heat you can generate. So what we want to do is get that heat exchanger to like a predictable temperature. In my case, what I think is the best is around 230, 240 degrees. Then we blow air through it, and depending on how much heat you want to put out would be how much air you want to blow through. But we control the air passing through it as well.
So,
I think a lot of the things that have happened up to this point with people who have experimented with this, and believe me, we have heard from them, Phil. I mean, we've heard from people that have been working on this for many, many years. And I think a lot of the things that happened, we thought were obvious, and it seems that, sometimes the simple answer is the best answer.
Well, yeah, what we just described there, I painted a verbal picture after looking at it just for a few minutes. This is not rocket science. It's very simple, and yet, just coming up with that right combination has taken years, and you guys just stumbled onto it. And you're not even a physicist or you've got some mechanical background, but your background's in sales.
Yeah. The thing is, though, when you sit and look at things like, Edison was not an engineer or a scientist, really. He was an inventor, and the same thing with the Wright brothers. So when everybody tells us things won't work, we just don't know any better, so we just keep forging on.
Yeah. Well, that's what it takes. That's why we at the New Energy Congress and PES Network are keeping our ear to the ground to look for those technologies outside the box, because that's where the breakthroughs come. They don't typically come from the establishment. In fact, if anything, the establishment is very good at maintaining the status quo and preserving as a dogma, this is the way things are done, and you don't do anything other than this. And yet the big breakthroughs will come from some garage mechanic who's come up with some new way, who doesn't know that something is, quote, impossible.
Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't know. We might not have tried, and it just kind of goes back to everything. As we built this entire unit, there were higher tech ways we could have done a few things, but we did them as low tech as we could because we wanted the average guy to be able to, reproduce what we'd done. In other words, to duplicate it.
Well, yeah, and you do have plans for these, and basically somebody could go down to a Home Depot and pick up just about everything they need. Now, the cells, you're describing those as being a little more difficult to build from scratch, and you do describe how to do those from scratch, but you also will sell those for people who want to buy them from you, correct?
Yeah, what we've kind of found is, and we've stumbled onto several guys that have the, they have a brake, and they have a shear, and they have all the a water jet, all the things to make those plates. And we just found a guy in Tennessee that has all that equipment, and he actually is the one that configured those cells. We did a lot of testing of a lot of different cells. We tried a lot of different things out there, and when we found his, we found for the amperage draw, the best output, we went with his stuff. And we sell that cell because basically for us, we don't have those, that equipment, and it's cheaper for us to buy that cell from him complete than it is to try to farm out the individual pieces to the people that have the equipment, because they've made an investment in that equipment, and they want to make their money back. And it's just more economical for us to buy them from him. Now we do. I did talk to a guy the other day, had all the stuff, and he's making his plates for about $1 a piece.
Yeah. We'll hit that when we come back from break.
I plugged the Scan Gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The Scan Gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The Scan Gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Log on and listen to IMUS in the Morning.
IMUS in the Morning.
Only on 1100KFNX.com.
Log on and listen live.
Start your day right. Don't miss IMUS in the Morning. Weekdays at 5 a.m.
I joined the National Guard for opportunity.
Over 200 career choices and paid training.
Money for college. A steady paycheck.
Only one thing stood between me and my benefits.
Basic training. I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't easy. The obstacle course was really challenging.
Now, I'm a National Guard soldier.
I help my community. I can protect my country.
I'm proud to be on this team.
Because I got stronger.
Because I got to go to college.
The Guard helped me succeed.
Call 1-800-GO-GUARD and ask us how you can prepare for basic training.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station. welcome to the Canine Anger Management Clinic. This must be little Shredder.
He started this when I brought Odor Eaters home. Odor Eaters keeps feet and shoes dry and odor-free.
He liked smelly shoes?
Oh, yeah.
And now?
No more smelly shoes. Odor Eaters destroys odor on contact and absorbs wetness that causes odor.
He needs a smelly substitute. My loafer.
Looks like he found it.
Here, Shredder!
Odor Eaters, insoles, powder, and spray.
Behind on your mortgage? Having trouble with your finances? Listen to the For Help Today program every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for answers. For immediate help, call 480-214-4040. Listen to the For Help Today program every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for answers.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you from Eagle Mountain. We are talking this evening with Randy Bunn and Mark Ackerman of Idaho of HHO-HHU, where HHO is the hydroxy element and HHU stands for home heating unit. Their website is HHOHHU.com. This company has built a self-contained water-fueled home heating unit using the hydroxy technology has been used to increase fuel efficiency. Plans are for sale on their patent-pending technology. And before we went to break, we were talking about the efficiency of the unit. And I saw some emails from you this evening, just before we went on the show, that you've actually boosted the efficiency or increased the efficiency just today or recently, where you're producing 2 liters per minute, pulling just 12.5 amps at 12 volts, which, according to my associate Mark Danzi, who has traveled all over the world looking at various hydroxy technologies, he's in Australia, he wrote an email this morning saying, I don't know how these guys are doing it, but that's about twice as good as anything he's ever come across.
Yeah, and, you know, it was twice as good as anything we'd come across before, too, and you know what? I wish I could claim the credit for that one, but actually it's a gentleman in Tennessee that developed that cell, and he's the one that did the improvement on it. What he did is added another neutral plate on each side and increased the number of holes he had cut in them, and the production went up.
Is that something that is included in your patent, or is that separate a patent of his, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's separate. You know, I don't think he's patented that. We sell his cells. He sells them on eBay, and he knows what we put the plan on there for the 9-cell unit. All a guy's got to do is take our 9-cell plan that's in our plans and just add another neutral plate to each side. And, you know, he's more about the sharing thing, but he builds such a nice cell. I mean, everything is machined, and it's done so well that we just, you know, we can't recreate it for what he charges us for him. So without buying a bunch of expensive equipment, which we're really not interested in running anyway, so that's what we do.
When you say everything is... go ahead.
With those cells, with the higher output of the cells, it also enabled us to do a lot more with our heat exchanger. In our second version, which will be out actually in kit form here very quickly, we were able to increase the efficiency by, oh my goodness, quite a bit. I mean, we're putting out 25% more hydrogen than we were before. We're able to put out about twice as much heat. I would imagine from ourselves, from what we're looking at right now. Right now we're in the process of finishing up our second unit, which is half of the size of the first one and puts out quite a bit more heat using the same amount of energy.
That tends to be the tenet or the direction that renewables are taking, very much like what we saw in the computer industry, where at first you had a room full of computer that would just do as much as now fits on a wristwatch. We're going to see things get more compact, cheaper, and what you just described, I mean, this is just going from the first to second generation. You're half the size with more output.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, it's amazing how fast we're refining it.
And it's also enabling us to offer hybrid furnace conversion for virtually any size of building. It's just a matter of multiplication. Everything is scalable, and we're making it to where different cells can be added to heat virtually any size of building.
And these are things which people could buy off your website right now, or is that version 2.0 coming soon?
Version 2.0 will be out within, oh my goodness, Randy, what do we think? Week?
I believe so. I mean, we think we're going to be firing the prototype on Wednesday, so.
Mm-hmm. What part of Idaho are you in?
Boise.
The Boise area.
Yeah, you're about 4 hours away from me. We'll have to get together, and I'd like to check this out.
That'd be great.
So you have plans. You have a kit soon. You have components available now. How many people do you know of who have taken your plans? You sold. You said hundreds of plans have been sold. How many replications have taken place where people have the plans and they've actually built the thing from the plans?
Well, truth is, we don't know the number. In fact, we were talking about that today. We're going to send an email out to say, hey, we are, you know, you bought our plans. We're wondering how you're doing. We wonder, you know, where you are in your process. And really what we're looking for is some testimonials from people that have done it. You know, that's our next information that we want to gather.
Yeah, I hope in doing that you'll give a link to our site where people can actually go and they can post a page linked from our replication section, or they could just post a paragraph or two or three sentences as a link on our replication section. You know, it's a publicly editable site, pezwiki.com. Just type in HHOHHU there. In fact, even now, we haven't even put this in our news yet, and we're already, I think, fourth or fifth on Google when you type in HHOHHU. You guys, of course, are first.
Yeah.
But we typically do really well in Google, and it's a good place for people to be able to find your technology and kind of have a place where they can have to get a rundown of the latest, greatest of what's going on. Because, you know, some people in this open source spirit, they're going to try different materials. You guys are using copper. They might try stainless steel for the heat exchanger component and say, hey, you know, it actually works quite a bit better. And, you know, there's going to be a number of improvements that will come along that will benefit others as well as you guys as you take these things and implement them into your version 3.0, 4.0 as these different units come along.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's amazing. We hooked up with an HVAC guy. Actually knew some about, you know, heating, et cetera. And he has been pretty instrumental in the design of the new unit. And basically we, you know, did some stuff with him, and he came back with some ideas, and then we concepted with him. And in just a little while, we're up here on the board, and we have the thing drawn full size up there. And it's amazing how compact we're going to be able to make this thing and how organized it is compared to the first one. I mean, when you're prototyping the first go-round, you know, it's trial and error. You get this, and okay, now we have this problem, so you have to find the solution. And now we've got all the, you know, we know what all the solutions are, and we're going to organize it, and it's going to be great.
Now, I understand you're still early in your prototyping, but I'm just curious in terms of safety right now. If somebody builds one of the things, has it in their living room, dog kicks it over, are we having a fire hazard here, or what's going on?
Yeah,
you know, that has been something that people have asked so much is the safety. You know, I mean, is there a way that I can blow up my house? Is there a way that, you know, there's going to be like a Hindenburg in my living room? And that is the thing that I have been most amazed about. We, in building this, like anybody who's worked with HHO, when you first start working with it, get a respect for the gas. Because if you're not careful, you will have some explosions. However, compared to other traditional gases, you know, gasoline, propane, natural gas, diesel fuel, it is extremely safe. I would have no problem having this going 24 hours a day, whether it was at home or not, just like I wouldn't have any problem having a gas heater in my house.
And, you know, we've done some crazy things, too. I mean, we've literally taken tissue paper on the output of this and set it right there to see if we can get it to light on fire, and it just never happened. I mean, it's just it's very safe. I mean, the only time hydrogen really becomes dangerous is when you store a large amount of it and compress it. And basically, we're burning this as fast as we're producing it. So just a small amount there.
I have an associate, Ty Robinson, who I was traveling with last week, who I think would beg to differ on the safety of Brown's gas, because you're taking your hydrolyzer or electrolyzing water, the H2O, into this HHO gas, which is a perfect stoichiometric mixture to go back into water and give off a lot of energy in the process. They call it in Germany boom gas because it is such a volatile mixture. It has the fastest propagation speed of any gas, almost any gas that is known.
Oh, yeah, it's fast and it's explosive. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that we're making such small amounts at a time. And with our flash arrestor and the bubbler that we have in there, the maximum amount you're going to get is about, a quarter of a liter maybe. Probably less than that could ever even fire back to. And basically that makes a yellow flash and a pop like a loud cap.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's explosive. We had some experiences early on.
But you're burning it as it's produced. You're not storing it in a tank where it could then be breached and exploded in a large scale. You're making just a little bit at a time. You're burning it as you make it. That's part of the safety.
Right, yeah. And, the worst explosion we had basically took a one-gallon poly tank and it split the seams on it. That was as catastrophic as it got. But
we're going to have to pick up this conversation after the bottom of the news, an hour at the news.
Okay.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. You were 12 years younger the last time Wall Street was as low as it is right now. The Dow tumbled another 250 points today. Analyst Robert Bruska says investors are worried about a lack of direction from the Treasury Department.
Timothy Geithner said basically that he had a plan to have a plan. Now, you know, where I come from, you don't really hype up a meeting that doesn't do anything, that just tells you that you have a plan, and your plan is that you're going to make a plan.
President Obama has a plan, but this one won't have any short-term benefits. He's pledging to cut the federal deficit in half by the end of his first 4 years in office. A nationwide sting operation rescues four dozen children being forced to work as prostitutes. Authorities in 29 cities have arrested hundreds of suspects. It is the most successful art auction in history. With several days still to go, buyers and Paris have already paid $264 million for artwork that belonged to the late fashion designer Yves Saint Laurent. This is CNN Radio.
We continue the above normal weather for at least the next couple of days, low to mid 80s through Wednesday, then a weak cold front moving through, partly cloudy Thursday into the weekend. We take our temperatures back to the mid to upper 70s. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 74 degrees.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. I'm the intern. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
We all know people who aren't sure where their next meal is coming from.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
3. I work at the coffee shop around the corner.
2. I'm your babysitter. I care for your children.
1. I'm your grandmother's friend. We play bingo together.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Credit card debt. It causes stress in your life, arguments with your loved ones, and collection agents to call you nonstop. If you feel like you're drowning in credit card debt with no way out, listen closely. No matter how high your credit card debt is, at Jordan McKenna, we are not here to judge you. We are here to help you. Together, we can reduce what you owe and stop those harassing collection calls. We'll even design an affordable monthly payment plan. You could save thousands of dollars off your high-interest credit card debt. If you have over $5,000 in credit card debt, you could automatically qualify. Call Jordan McKenna now for a free no-obligation consultation. Find out how to reduce what you owe, stop the never-ending collection calls, and get out from under the mountain of credit card debt. For your free no-obligation consultation, call now, 800-308-9952. That's 800-308-9952. Don't miss out. Call 800-308-9952.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations, that's for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
We really want to change the world today. We just want to help the world.
866-536-1100.
That's the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live. 866-536-1100. We're talking tonight to Randy Bunn and Mark Ackerman, who have a home heating unit that uses a hydroxy fuel. That's basically a fuel from water using electrolysis, just a little bit of electrolysis. We're talking 450 watts, about as much as it takes to run a home computer, can heat a 1,000 square feet area, so efficient that the unit can pay for itself in as little as 3 months, and you can buy the plans off their website for around $40. And you can source the materials for $600 retail, and then if you're resourceful, you can get down as low as $200. They purposely made the plan so you could get them from off-the-shelf things available just about everywhere. Mark and Randy, let's continue with this discussion. We've been talking about this technology, and let's talk about the efficiency, this 450 watts heating 100 square feet. And what kind of environment are we talking about? Are we talking about Canada or are we talking about Florida?
It was Chicago. It was tested in a 1,040 square foot area. It raised the temperature to 76.8, and the outside temperature was at 35.2. And I maintained it indefinitely. We didn't have any drop-off whatsoever. Now, with our system, it's a little bit different than a conventional home furnace in the fact that our system is on 24 hours a day. So once it starts, it isn't something that kicks on and then turns off and kicks on and turns off like you would have with your forced air furnace. This is something that is putting out heat all of the time.
Now, if you want to be able to have a thermostat on this thing, you know, you're going to want to be able to turn it up and down. Is that just a function of version 1.0 and then version 2 or 3 down the road will be a little more governable?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the control is just about ready to go. So it'll have a thermostat on it. Typically, you're going to find that you're going to probably set your high limit on your room. And most of the time, this is, you know, or your house, and this is going to run most of the time. But if it reaches that high limit, then it'll shut down. And then once it drops down again, it'll cycle itself back up.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? It seems to run so economically that we just let it run most of the time. Okay. The testing was actually kind of fun to do, but everybody wanted us to tell them what the BTU output was, because that's how all the furnaces are regulated, you know, and that's how they're rated. But really, we found out that majoring BTUs isn't as simple as you think it is. We thought that they'd just be able to give us a test probe of some sort and say, okay, it's putting out this many BTUs, but it's really not doable. And we've had a couple people give us some methods, but they were pretty bizarre as to how to do it. And so basically what we did is we did a test so that we could determine what size of space that it would heat. And we know that with Idaho standards, to do that 1,040 square feet takes about 40,000 BTUs. So even though it doesn't produce that kind of BTUs, it will heat the same space that is required by a furnace of that volume.
Is this something?
Yeah, I think it's also important to say that the type of heat that is produced is not your typical type of heat that you'd get from, let's say, a space heater. It's more of a moist heat. It's not enough to, cause condensation on your windows or mold or anything of that nature, but it will raise the humidity by about 2%. And we find that the heat that's generated from it is a very pleasant feeling heat.
Yeah, it penetrates you a little more. I mean, you take these little space heaters, and of course all these people are saying, well, get these electric space heaters and do a comparison with them. Well, one time we had three 1,500-watt space heaters, and they would not heat the area that this unit was heating. And it's only pulling 452 watts. And the thing is, the heat that came off of those electric heaters was so different because you could feel it initially, but then it was gone. It didn't penetrate. And the moist warmth, it fills the room and it penetrates you better. It's not like wood heat, but it's a different type of heat.
Physics and the industry standard will back you up on those statements. I was speaking with an energy professional from my city in Eagle Mountain a couple months ago, and he said that a key component in efficient heating is humidity. That the humidity carries the heat much better, more efficiently, and a lot of these heaters will dry out the air, and if you have a way to introduce humidity along with the heat, then it'll go a lot further. And the Brown's gas, by its very nature, as you're electrolyzing the fuel from water, and when it's being burned, it goes back to water. So what's coming out as exhaust, so to speak, is water vapor.
Right. Yeah, I know that the HVAC guy we hooked up with here, he says, well, we put humidifiers on furnaces all the time, tell people they can turn their thermostat down a couple degrees. So
yours is acting as a humidifier and as a heater at the same time.
And it's all natural. I mean, it isn't something where we actually planned this out. It was just a wonderful byproduct.
Now, in terms of the, when we talk about the heat coming from this thing, you'll see ads for these units built by the Amish, for example, where you have a cat sitting on top of the thing. In other words, the idea is that it's very safe. A child could come up and touch it. It's not going to burn his hand. What are we talking about with your unit in terms of the actual heat of the unit? Is it something you're going to have to protect the children from touching, or what is the surface temperature?
Now, the outside of that case, we have a laser thermometer that we do a lot of measurements with. The cow side of the case gets warm. It gets up in the 80s to maybe close to 90 degrees, but you figure your regular body temperature is 98.6. So when you put your hand on there, it will feel warm, but it's definitely not going to burn anybody.
And yet this thing is heating up 1,000 square feet.
Yeah. We've done everything we try to do to make it explode, to make it burn, set it on fire or burn something, and we can't do it. It's just like the difference between the hare and the turtle in the race. I mean, our system is constant and it's always producing heat. It isn't what I would say an instant gratification. I mean, you put your hand up to it, you can feel heat definitely. It warms the room in a very short period of time, but it isn't like putting your hand up against a hot stove. It's something that it's a constant flow of this heat out into the room.
Okay, let's say I go to your website and I download your plans. How much time am I looking at to source the materials and to build once I've got the materials to then build it?
The sourcing part's kind of probably the variable. I mean, if you just go to Home Depot and gather everything up, you're not going to spend very much time, probably 2-3 hours, you know, doing the shopping thing max. And time to put it together, I mean, kind of depends on your ability, but I would think 6 hours is a long time.
So you're looking at basically a Saturday, and you could have this thing assembled and running.
Yeah, if you have everything there, that's, you know, typically what you run into is, oh, I don't have this screw, or I forgot that fitting, or I need this electrical terminal I don't have. You know, that's what gets you, I guess, into your time. But if everything's there, it assembled, it's easy. I mean, it just does not take not that much to it.
That's one of the things I look forward to in the open sourcing, is that there will be some really clever workarounds that people will come up with, say, hey, you can use this instead of that if you don't have this available. And that's going to become really, really helpful as things fall apart and we might not be able to import this or that from China or this or that from Hong Kong or, you know, wherever we're getting stuff nowadays. We're going to have to go with what's in the junkyards and make that work.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of where we talk about being resourceful.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit where you're going as a company and where you plan to take this.
Okay.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
The Lou Dobbs Show, returning this country to the American people, 1 hour at a time. And beginning March 2nd, catch Lou at his new time, Monday through Friday starting at 5, right here on KFNX.
I've lost a total of 109 pounds.
I've lost 65 pounds.
I have a tremendous increase in energy.
We do it every 6 months. We're afraid not to.
Use the program medical doctors across America have recommended to their patients. You can stop sugar cravings, lose fat, and have daily sustained energy. It's the 21-day body makeover. Try our new 3-step payment plan. Now you can benefit like thousands of others in 3 easy steps. Click on MultiPay when ordering your 21-day body makeover. Go to 21daybodymakeover.com.
Did you open your year-end statement and feel sick to your stomach? Were you devastated to see the losses in your portfolio? You're not alone. You're thinking, is there any way to recapture these losses in 2009? There is hope. Call Stolz Financial Partners for a free portfolio review and comparison report at 602-889-6500 or visit ReviewMyAccountNow.com. That's ReviewMyAccountNow.com. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor.
Get Wealthy Arizona every Wednesday from 3 to 4. Learn how to eliminate market risk from your retirement accounts by listening to Get Wealthy Arizona, brought to you by EquityForProfit.com, every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen, come back at you from Utah. You folks down there in Phoenix area who are listening live to the show tonight might not appreciate this as much as some other people in our audience, including myself, where it's cold. But you might find this technology fascinating. We're talking to Randy Bunn and Mark Ackerman, who have devised a way to heat your home using water as fuel, using electrolysis in a very efficient electrolysis setup, converting the water into hydroxy, which can then be burned very efficiently, humidifying the home with the heat so it takes less to go a long way. And they're also gathering the heat from the fans and from the electrolysis, so nothing's going to waste. It's heat's going out into the room, and the unit is warm to the touch, but not hot. It's not a danger, so you can and they have plans. You can go download the plans to build one of these things. Take about a half a day to do it. Source it and build it if you're a handyman. The difficult component would be that cell. Let's talk about that for a second. You said dry cell. Why are you calling it a dry cell when it's electrolyzing water?
You know, we didn't come up with that name. The guys that developed those cells did, but I guess it's because it's not floating in water. The water's actually being pumped through it, and the plates, you know, obviously the electrolysis has to happen on the plates, but most of the generators that people built forever, they were putting plates or coils or, you know, or rods, whatever it was, into a container of water, and that's kind of how they were built. And so I guess since these are dry on the outside and water's flowing through them, that's where they came up with the dry cell part.
Well, with water flowing through it, typically when we're talking about onboard electrolysis units, you know, you talk about how often do you have to top off the water in that cell, and how often do you need to go in and change it out, like every week or so, so that you've got the electrolyte in there and you have to keep things from degrading. Let's talk about that for a second, of how to keep the water maintained.
You know, we don't have much problem at all with where we're using KOH as our electrolyte. We don't get the decay of the metal, you know, where you see the oxidation, you get all the color. The water stays clear and runs, and very seldom do we have to replenish the electrolyte. Once in a while we add a little, but typically we're just putting distilled water in there.
And how often are you?
Our consumption was very, very light. It was amazing how far a gallon of water goes.
How big is your holding tank, and how often are you filling it up?
It holds a gallon, and we put a quart in it. If you burn it 24 hours a day, it'll run for about 3 days, is what it's going to do. You're going to use that up. But typically when we see it down a quart or so, we add a quart of water, and it's, especially on the new unit, it's so easy to do. You just open the cap, pour the water in, put the cap back on there.
And if you forget to refill the water, let's say that the dad goes away on business and the son's supposed to do it and he's off partying and it doesn't get done, what happens?
It'll just shut down.
Okay.
That's all that happens. So nothing drastic.
Talk about your hybrid system, where you're tying this into an existing system to augment.
Right. There, on some of those, there will be some larger tanks. In fact, there will be an option to put an external tank on them. But again,
And have them plumbed as well.
Yeah. Just kind of depends on the size of your unit as to what you're going to want to do there. And there are some preferences. I mean, and there are some choices. But
would you say
the hybrid unit, not just plumbing it, but we're having... A lot of people are very interested in solar power and in wind power to power the unit.
Yeah, we've actually got a guy out of Missouri that's working on a configuration to set it up so it can stand alone.
Right.
That's
that
business.
That would be the ideal,
in.
So it's a distributed energy system and it's not relying on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, that's his business. He's into solar and wind. He does both, so... We've got him putting together a package right now to basically take it off the grid.
Now, you talked about plumbing. Are you talking about hooking it up like you have refrigerator water so that you don't have to keep topping it off manually, but it'll be done automatically?
Yeah, and that can be done. You do have to use a reverse osmosis filter so that you're getting clean water in there. Otherwise, you're going to get some mineral buildup, and it's just that's why we say distilled water. You can use any water, but... It's just a lot cleaner and better for your system if you stay away from the minerals. And depending on the area you're in, you know, I mean, around here, we have a lot of iron and some other things in our water, and it's not too friendly to anything, washers, dryers, shower heads, anything.
Yeah, that's the way the water is in Eagle Mountain. We have to have soft water system to make the water so it's potable. Pretty nasty stuff. Now let's talk for a second about your company. The website is hhohhu.com. Is that also the name of your company?
Yes.
Is there an LLC or?
Yeah, it is an LLC.
Okay. So it's hhohhu LLC?
Correct. Yeah, it's hhohhu.com LLC.
.com LLC. So the .com is part of the company name.
Yeah, we figured, you know, if you if you have your .com and that's your website, people will know how to find you. That's why we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to make a lot of sense to us.
Now, what are your plans in terms of, you know, in order to get this thing introduced as a finished product, you're going to have to go through UL listing and et cetera. It's going to be quite a few hoops you're going to have to jump through, take quite a bit of funding. What are your milestones, projections on getting those things done?
Well, exactly as to when, I'm not sure. But obviously those are the next steps. I mean, we've got several people that want to manufacture these under license, not only here but in Canada. And obviously we're going to have some independent testing and certification done. And this, we feel like this second generation unit is probably the one that will be, you know, viable and be able to do that with. Especially once we have the thermostatic control and everything on it. I mean, it's going to be the cat's meow compared to the first one.
What's the longest that any of your prototypes have run continuously without stopping or with a very short stop?
Yeah, I don't know, days. I mean,
yeah, we haven't timed it out. Maybe that's something that we should do. Once we built the first prototype, it's made its rounds. I mean, it's had a lot of attention. We've had a lot of people, and I joked that the lid that's on top of it, it runs very efficiently with that lid on, but the lid stays on at about 15 seconds because people all want to see how it works.
Yeah, they're always under the hood.
In terms of the how fast this thing is rolled out, I'm quite amazed. I mean, you guys, this last summer when gas prices were over $4 a gallon was when you started in this. And you said, you know, there's got to be a way to make a heater out of this. And you just started doing some web searching, came up, you know, looked at some systems, started playing around. And before long, you had some prototypes going. Give us a little bit of a history snapshot of how this thing rolled out. And we've got just about 4 minutes left, so just take a couple of minutes on that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because Mark came to me, you know, I showed him the stuff, the automobile stuff, and he came to me and said, can we build a fireplace? And I said, I don't know, maybe. And that's kind of how he got me started, and then it just kind of naturally progressed to, well, we should make a heater before we actually make a fireplace. And so, I mean, then the process started, and, you know, a lot of the research initially was into defining the right cells, because obviously this thing was going to work and make any sense. It had to be efficient. And so when we stumbled on that dry cell, finally, one that's making a liter and a half per minute at 12 and a half amps, we thought, man, we got to, you know, that was the biggest thing. And then the heat exchanger. And it was interesting. As I would have problems, I'd call Mark. And I'd be devastated. Oh, I hit this roadblock. And he would always, you know, say, hey, let's just think about it. We'll figure out a solution. And nearly every time the solutions were simple. In fact, he talks quite often about one solution that we had. Tell him about that, Mark.
We had a problem with the unit, getting condensation inside it. And we had gone through all kinds of different things to make it happen. We put dryers on it. We came up with our own drying system. And it turned out, when all was said and done, after we sweated over this for, I don't know, a week or so, it was a 15-cent part.
Yeah, literally, a little poly elbow solved the whole thing.
That solved all of the problems, and we've never had one problem with it since that time. And really, I think a lot of times technology, why it doesn't get out there, is because many people overthink the problem. And rather than looking for the solution to come with them, they're pounding out how much of a problem they have.
Yeah, we have a lot of people that were obviously upset when we first broke the website and the plans. And it's because they, like we said before, they'd been working on it for years, and, you know, and they'd say, well, what about this problem? What about this problem? You know, they threw all the problems up there, and we encountered every one of them, but instead of letting it eat us alive, we just kind of stepped back and said, there's got to be a solution. What's the solution? You know, we didn't focus on the problem. We focused on the solutions, and that's what got us to where we got in such a short amount of time.
And you weren't encumbered with all the education that they have under their belts.
Yeah, we didn't know it couldn't be done, and so, you know, thank heavens, because several engineers, you know, they said, well, this and that, you know, but you don't get the electrolysis takes more energy than what you get out. Well, I mean, maybe the way they were doing it, it did, but, you know, we found a really efficient way to get it out. And then a lot of these other problems, we just looked for simple solutions, and we didn't know any better. So, it all worked out.
Well, let's just recap here really quick. You've got a website, hhohhu.com, that people can go to get these plans. Also, we've got coverage over at peswiki.com, peswiki.com. And we were talking this last weekend about possibly having that kind of be the home of the open sourcing avenue, where it's kind of built to do that, where people can go in and edit that, where they can post their replications and suggestions for improvements for the next versions, some alternate materials that can be used, sourcing, and all kinds of stuff. We've done a number of open sourcing projects there. But you basically come up with a system that can resolve the home heating issue very inexpensively, very affordably, and very simply. You're to be congratulated.
Thank you so much. And, you know, it's amazing. We're burning water. That's our favorite part of it.
Yeah. So if we can just have the sun or the wind being the source of the electricity that makes the water burn, all the better, eh?
You bet.
Absolutely. You're
listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net. And join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com.